You are Locked On Sooners, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma Sooners. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey there, Sooners Nation, and welcome to the Friday edition of the Locked On Sooners podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you so much for joining us. My name is John Williams. You can follow me on Twitter at John9Williams. And joining me today at the other end of the Ethernet cable, as he's always there, you love listening to him, it's former Oklahoma Sooners offensive lineman David Walker. You can follow David on Twitter at D_walk74. David, how's it going, sir?
John, it's Friday, man. There's only one way for it to be going. That is great. All right. As the great George Jones once saying, it's finally Friday. Here we are. And man, it's been a lot of fun this week. We've had some good stuff going on. And, you know, we had a conversation on our Wednesday show with Eddie Radosovich. And we kind of got into this conversation organically of Baker versus Kyler, a one game scenario. And it kind of led us into a conversation you and I have been wanting to have on the podcast for a while, ever since Coach Stoops got announced into the Hall of Fame. And that was the all-time Bob Stoops team. And we wanted to start off by going with an all-time Bob Stoops offense. So that's what we have on tap coming up here today.
Yeah, and we'll get into that. We also want to make sure that you know that there's a big Oklahoma versus Iowa State basketball game coming up, men's basketball. Good opportunity for OU to bounce back. But we're not going to talk much about that. We'll recap that on the Monday show. But David, let's talk all-time Bob Stoops team on the offensive side of the football. Now, we've had a lot of offensive line talk on the show this week, so let's start off there. You had your big players lounge with the big guys from the offensive line on Thursday's show. So, David, let's talk offensive line. Who is the starting offensive line for the Bob Stoops all-time team?
Man, I mean, that's a loaded question. Really, all of these positions. And I want to acknowledge that before we get into this because, you know, and then there's also the criteria of like, well, what stops the guy from being a Bob Stoops guy versus a Lincoln Riley guy? And sort of the determination I think we were looking at was, did they play the bulk of their career under Bob? You know, were they recruited by Bob? Were they developed by Bob? You know, did they play most of their career under Bob? So that's going to have a few people that it could go either way. They could be a Lincoln guy or a Bob guy. So there's a couple coin flips we could go with. But when we get to the quarterback conversation, that's going to be rich, man. I mean, gosh, you talk about the last 20 years and it's going to be wild. So we'll get to the quarterbacks at the end. But to start up front, which I'm glad we're starting up front, like you mentioned, we had the Players Lounge episode yesterday, part two of our conversation with a handful of those former Sooner offensive linemen. But when you look at the NFL product right now, there's a lot of Sooner offensive linemen littered throughout that. But going back to the Bob Stoops era, you know, to me, I think it starts off, between the tackles at the guard spots, it got a little tricky to me because I think Davin Joseph is a no-brainer. Guy played a long time in the league, was an all-pro, was a big-time presence there in the early 2000s under Coach Stoops, and was a part of played with the Heisman Trophy winner, blocked for Adrian Peterson and those guys. So I think Davin Joseph is a lock at one of the guard spots. And the center and guard spots, to me, got pretty tricky here because you got a guy like Gabe Eichard, right, friend of the show, great Oklahoma sports media presence right now. You had a guy like Gabe that was an All-American, and yet, you know, in his time frame, they did not make it to the national title game. So he wasn't a part of some of those more elite teams. Now their offenses were very good. He blocked Landry Jones, but he was an All-American center, but also played some guard. And then you look at John Cooper, who was the center for Sam Bradford. That was the Big 12 Offensive Lineman of the Year in 2008. Played a few years in the National Football League, currently coaching over at Arkansas. You know, the center position, you know, Creed Humphrey right now, you could say arguably best center of all time. And I don't even know if it's debatable. I would say he's going to leave Oklahoma as the best center to ever play it. But prior to that, there's a lot of guys that could have gone to that mix. So what I chose to do was to give Gabe Eichard kind of a guard spot and put John Cooper at center for those interior spots. Now, we had a guy on the show yesterday. We had him on the last couple of Thursdays in the Players Lounge in Chris Chester, who didn't play a lot of offensive line at Oklahoma, but went on to be the longest tenured player outside of Adrian Peterson that Bob Stoops ever coached at Oklahoma when it comes to the National Football League. Played 11 years, started almost every game for 11 seasons. So Chris Jester definitely belongs in that conversation, but I just look at these guys at the bulk of what they did at their time at Oklahoma. And that's the guard center spots I had.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's no disrespect to any of these guys because it's just been such a rich group of talented players to pull from. I mean, it's a who's who of offensive linemen over the last 20 years. And there's, you know, another guy that you could throw into the conversation. That's Wes Sims, who we've had on the show several times, and even Bubba Bertram. I think like those are another couple of names that you could throw into the conversation as guys that are worthy of being on Bob Stoops' all-time team. But that's just how tough this conversation is. I mean, there's going to be a lot of debate because there's a lot of really good football players along the offensive line for Oklahoma.
Yeah, and in the tackle spots, you know, there's been a lot of great tackle play there. And I look at that. I look at Jamal Brown, that was a All-American, played a long time in the league, Pro Bowler as well. I mean, if you're a Pro Bowler in the National Football League, it's hard to keep you off this list. I mean, if you had a great career at Oklahoma and you're a Pro Bowler, it kind of seems like a no-brainer. So for me, that's Jamal Brown at the right tackle spot, Trent Williams at the left tackle spot. Hard to go wrong with those two guys. You know, Jamal and Davin actually played together at right guard and right tackle for like three seasons at Oklahoma and just dominated that side of the football. So that to me is the offensive line as I have it. Kind of going left to right, I would go Trent Williams left tackle, Gabe Eichard left guard, John Cooper at center, Davin Joseph right guard, Jamal Brown right tackle. That would be my five. Now there's, like you said, I think the interior spots, there's a lot of names you could throw in there and probably come out really well. Mm-hmm. But as far as those tackle spots, I think those are two no doubters right there for me.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're looking at the tackle position and you polled 100 Sooner fans and asked them who their tackles would be, I bet 95% of them would come up with those two as the starting tackles for Bob Stoops' all-time team. And probably 100% of them would come up with Trent Williams as your starting left tackle. I mean, that guy has been one of the best tackles in the NFL throughout his entire career and continues to go strong and is in line to probably get another big contract from San Francisco or from somebody else. But that's just, I mean, dominant. He's been a dominant player in the NFL for a really, really long time. Let's kind of keep along the line of scrimmage a little bit before we get into the next segment. We talk about some of the other skill position players. But let's talk about the tight end group, because I feel like this is also a very interesting conversation. Not a lot of big names at the tight end position. But David, you kind of sent me your list earlier, and let's talk about that guy first. You sent me Jermaine Gresham as the Bob Stoops all-time tight end. Talk to me about him a little bit.
I think Jermaine Gresham is just the guy that jumped off the page to me. I mean, I know Trent Smith in the early 2000s, obviously part of the national championship team, had a nice career there, and that didn't translate to the National Football League. But at the time, I think Trent Smith had a great run and kind of set the table for what a tight end looked like at Oklahoma in this new era of offense. But to me, like, Jermaine Gresham just came and took it to another level. And it's unfortunate that he came back for that last year after Bradford won the Heisman. He comes back and tears his ACL in the preseason, doesn't get that final season with Sam. Sam didn't get that final season with Sam either. So that was one of those snake bit seasons that we talked about a few weeks back of kind of like the what ifs of the Sooners for the last 20 years. But Jermaine Gresham was a freak and had a nice NFL career as well. I think the second guy in that conversation, I'm going to go with Jermaine Gresham, but the second guy in that conversation to me is Mark Andrews and what he did there with Baker Mayfield, what he's done in the NFL. You could make a strong case for Mark Andrews. I just think if I had to pick one of those two guys while they were Sooners, I probably would have gone with Gresham.
You know, maybe Andrews, some of his tenure, correct me if I'm wrong, some of his tenure overlapped Lincoln Riley a little bit too.
Yeah. He's one of those guys. It's kind of like if you're splitting hairs here, I'm going to go Gresham because he was, you know, without question, a Bob Stoops guy. And also, you know, got to a national championship there with Sam Bradford, you know, in the game against Florida. So he was a big time factor in that. And I kind of gave a little bit of a bump to guys that played in those big games and were part of those careers. So, but yeah, Jermaine in a slight edge over Mark Andrews.
Yeah, I think so. I don't think you can go wrong in that. And, you know, with as much as Oklahoma likes to run a lot of different formations, hey, if you want to have two tight ends on your all-time team, then we got both. We got Jermaine Grisham and all, and Mark Andrews there. But coming up in the next segment, we'll get into more of the skill position players. We'll talk about the wide receivers and the running backs, and we'll give a little fullback talk as well coming up here on the Locked On Sooners podcast.
But first, are you ready for some more football? Look, I know we're talking college ball right now, but there's one big game coming up in about 48 hours, give or take, and that's the Super Bowl down in Tampa. Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, you know the table is set for a big time matchup. So are you going to get on the action? Well, if you want to, there's only one place that has you covered and one place we trust. That's betonline.ag. If you want to go lay some money down, make sure you use the promo code Locked On and get a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. So you don't have to sit on the sideline for the Super Bowl. Yes, enjoy your snacks, enjoy the commercials. But if you want in on the action, go to betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast. Peter Bukowski hosts Locked On Today, a daily podcast breaking down the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today, wherever you get podcasts.
And now coming up in this segment of the Locked On Sooners podcast, we're going through Bob Stoops' all-time team. We're starting on the offensive side of the football. At some point down the road, we'll talk about the defense as well. In the first segment, we went over the offensive line and the tight ends. Now we're going to talk wide receivers and running backs. But David, let's talk about the wide receiver position. This is one of my favorite positions to watch. Anytime I'm studying film or getting ready for the NFL draft, I love watching the wide receivers. It's like poetry in motion when you watch those guys because just they're so fluid and so quick, and the way that they're able to get in and out of their breaks is just very impressive to me. So I feel like there's going to be quite a bit of debate on this one, and maybe there'll be Sooners fans that might have something to say about this. But let's talk a little bit about the wide receivers. Give me your starting three. We're going to go with three wide receivers because, in the Bob Stoops era, they probably ran 11 personnel far more than they ran anything else on offense. And so we're going to go with three wide receivers here. So David, let me have them.
All right, so we'll go chronological order here. I'm going to go with the godfather of the OU wide receiver, who I consider that to be Mark Clayton, who is also a friend of the show, has been on the show a couple times. So Mark Clayton coming in, to that 2003 season, Jason White's Heisman year, just exploded onto the scene. Two-time All-American, came back with Jay White in 04 as well, be a first-round pick of the Ravens. But I think Mark Clayton was that first guy. Heupel had Antoine Savage, and he had some other, Curtis Fagan. He had some guys, but those guys weren't translating to like the first team All-American, Blitnikoff finalist kind of guy. Mark Clayton was the first guy to sort of launch himself into that stratosphere of nationally acclaimed wide receiver, first round pick. And the lineage of first round draft picks at Oklahoma at the wide receiver spot, of which we've had a few here recently, that all points back to Mark Clayton. So I think it starts with MC, and you can say, is he a slot? Is he split out? It doesn't matter. He's one of my three. So I would start with Mark, and then I would fast forward over to the Sam Bradford era, and I would take Ryan Broyles. That guy just broke all the records, caught everything, and always found himself open. I mean, you talk about it was like commonplace for him to have 12 to 15 catches in a game. Just got open and found space and made stuff happen after, and also made stuff happen in the punt game and the return game. So that guy was electric. So I have Mark Clayton and Ryan Broyles. And then I would go to the end of Bob Stoops' era, the only Heisman Trophy finalist at that wide receiver spot in Dede Westbrook. Now, some people might look at Dede and say, well, man, he didn't have a long career as a Sooner. And that would be true. So there was some thought about, well, are there some other guys we could put in that spot? Absolutely. And you're probably going to talk about some of them, John. But for me, if you're a Heisman finalist at that spot, it's hard not to put you on my all-time team. So that's how I saw it was MC, Broyles, and Dede. That's my three.
And I really don't think there's much of an argument to be made. I mean, there are definitely a few guys that you could throw into the conversation because again, like the offensive line, they've had tremendous wide receiver play over the years, over the last 20 years. I mean, it helps when you have as good quarterback play as they've had, which we'll talk about in the next segment, and as good offensive play calling as they've had over the last 20 years. But yeah, man, that wide receiver position just absolutely stacked. If you're loading up EA's NCAA football and their all-time teams, who would you be starting? That'd be really, really tough decision to make, because you've also got a guy like Sterling Shepard that you could throw out there on the field as well, who had a tremendous career at Oklahoma, you know, catching passes. And then one guy that I feel like is kind of underrated is Kenny Stills. And he's one of those players that's also super underrated in the NFL. You know, he's not a starter he's not going for 1,000 yards every season, but he continues to find his way onto football teams and continues to make big plays in the passing game. Talk about those two guys and like, was there any consideration to maybe, you know, putting maybe a Sterling Shepard on that list?
Yeah, certainly Sterling Shepard. Absolutely. You know, Kenny Stills, I think he had a good career at Oklahoma. I think he's had a better NFL career than he had his career as a Sooner.
Agreed.
And that could probably be attributed to a lot of different factors. I just don't feel like he ever maximized his potential as a Sooner. Mm-hmm. And there was always more. I'm going to sound super redneck for a minute. I'm going to take it back to like Four Mile Road and Fort Gibson and say there's a lot of meat on the bone left. A whole lot of meat on the bone left on his career there as a Sooner. And that's not to say like that was his fault specifically, right. But I just think that was one of those, when you see his career continue to go on in the National Football League, you're like, dang, did we get all we could out of him? I don't feel like we did. And there's players like that have better NFL careers than they have college careers. You see it at a lot of places, like they have a program like Oklahoma. But I think Sterling certainly was a playmaker, kind of reminded me a lot of a Broyles, but just not as electric for me. And part of that was due to the punt return side of it too. Like Broyles is a punt returner. And I know we're not talking punt return specifically, but he just did some things and was able to do some things that I don't think Sterling was able to do. And I think it showed the difference in those two guys. When you watch how they return kicks, it showed the shiftiness. It showed the explosiveness that I think Broyles had the edge on there. I think Sterling athletically, and again, he's still making a lot of money playing football, so this is not a knock on him. I think he would definitely be my number four, but I think that was Broyles just made things look even easier than Sterling. And that's more of a credit to Broyles than it is a knock on somebody else.
And I think the thing that always impressed me the most about Ryan Broyles was the toughness that he displayed. For someone who played at such a small stature, he was unafraid to make plays at any part of the field. You know, you want to send him over to the middle, no big deal. You want to send him, you know, 10, 15 yards down the field and over the middle, no big deal. You want to, you know, make him catch wide receiver screens and work through blocks and try and work upfield, no big deal. You want to send him on routes down the field, no big deal. Like he was, and I think that's been also a testament to, you know, the wide receiver coaching that they've had at Oklahoma, is that they're able to get a variety of different style of wide receivers and find a lot of success and get them to run a lot of routes. I mean, you hear about certain players, and this is one of the kind of knocks against Tylan Wallace coming into the draft this year, is that he's not a very diverse route runner. Well, you don't hear that much about Oklahoma wide receivers. I mean, there might be some other knocks, but these guys are very well developed when they're coming out of Oklahoma. And so I don't really have much of an issue with the three you chose. I mean, Mark Clayton, D.D. Westbrook, Ryan Broyles. And like you said, I mean, Westbrook may not have had a long career, but if you are a wide receiver and you're a finalist for a Heisman Trophy, that is huge. I mean, because when's the last time, you know, Devontae Smith won the Heisman this year, but before that, I mean, it's almost impossible if you're not a quarterback to be a finalist at the wide receiver position even at the running back position. It's really difficult to become a finalist.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned Ryan Broyles' toughness. He also like broke his shoulder blade against Miami one year. I mean, like that's, it was either Miami or Florida State. I have to go back and look. I think it was Miami when went over the middle, like broke his shoulder blade and came back that same season. So I don't even know what a broken shoulder blade is. Sounds horrible.
Yep.
But he was a tough dude. So yeah. And honorable mention as well, Malcolm Kelly, because a great wide receiver for one, but also, you know, the beat that still goes on with the freestyle rap. So
that's right.
Malcolm Kelly, want to make sure we at least bring him up in the conversation, because he was a fantastic wide receiver.
Yeah.
Who happened to have a rap beat after a game that will far outlast his impact on the field, as it probably turns out, which is pretty wild. But so I want to flip to the backfield, and we're going to save the quarterback position for the last segment, but we got running backs, and we're also going to talk about the fullback spot. So let's talk about the fullback spot, get that out of the way, because I want to just set the table for the running back conversation. For me, there was a few guys in this mix. I thought JD Runnels, I thought Trey Millard, I thought Dimitri Flowers as an H-back. But I felt like after watching some stuff, seeing some highlights recently, Trey Millard just jumping over a dude. I mean, against Texas, like that one play where he basically just like shot through the pile and just exploded through that for a huge play. I got to go with Trey at that spot.
Yeah. And I don't have much of an argument. I think he was kind of the quintessential H-back that they've kind of become really famous for at this point, where he can do a variety of things for you, but he was a really good lead blocker and also a really good runner with the football as well. And yeah, the Texas highlights, I mean, he was just fantastic for them. And I don't have much argument with that. I mean, I could definitely see an argument for JD Runnels, you know, Fullback U podcast. I mean, you know, again, another friend of the show, we've had him on before, and he just fantastic mind, you know, played at a time where they were running the football a whole lot more, and he was being asked to do more of the kind of the dirty work as opposed to, you know, catching passes and running the football. But, you know, I don't have any issue with Trey Millard. So let's talk about the tailbacks, the legit running backs. When you sent me your list, man, it's hard to argue with your two. So drop the two, man.
Well, let's just get the first one out of the way. I mean, Adrian Peterson is running back one. And if anybody wants to debate that, y'all can just come at me all day. I'll sit there and just, I'll carve out some time on Twitter to have a conversation about it. Because if anybody thinks Adrian Peterson is not the man we're handing the football to, I don't know what to tell you. So yeah.
Let's take AD. That's like all time. He's the all time greatest running back in Oklahoma.
Yeah, exactly. And I'll have that conversation too. So y'all wanted Billy Sims us or Marcus Dupree us or, you know, Joe Washington us, like we can do that. But I'm just going to say that Adrian Peterson is, he's still playing in the year 2021 and was still scoring touchdowns last December for Detroit. So yeah, that guy, class of his own. But the second spot, you know, that one, I think much more competitive for the second running back spot. And, you know, I think any offense you want to have, you can bring two backs to the table. So for me, it's DeMarco Murray, the versatility, the all-time touchdown leader when he left Oklahoma. I will say it for as long as I can say it, that Oklahoma would have won a national title against Florida had he not been injured in the Big 12 title game. So to me, like, he was a big time game changer that I don't know if anybody fully appreciated what he was doing. And then he gets to the Cowboys, of course, and, you know, has that monster season in the NFL. And I think really solidified himself as that, that second guy to me with AD.
And for everything that you just touched on, I 100% agree. I think there's names that you could consider, you know, Rodney Anderson. You could talk about Quentin Griffin. You know, again, a lot of really good running backs for Oklahoma over the years. And I think to me, the one that probably stands out the most as, you know, if you're going to have a RB3, and it's that Quentin Griffin, you know, yeah, he is instrumental to their national championship win. Yep. And, you know, a guy kind of like a Darren Sproles that was undersized and still played with a lot of toughness and made a lot of big plays for Oklahoma.
Yeah, Q was amazing. And again, you know, this is going to be part of the conversation we have to have next second at the quarterback spot. I mean, Q won the national championship at Oklahoma and he scored the only touchdown in that title game. And then he went on in 01 and 02 to have really good years. I mean, he had a great Rose Bowl. His parting shot there in 2002, had a huge Big 12 championship game in his hometown in 2002. And just, he had a really good career as well. I don't think anybody had the career. If you're outside of AD and DeMarco, I couldn't think of a running back that would supplant Q as that third spot.
Yeah. And he's a guy that I look at, if he would have played maybe 10 years later and gone into the NFL, say 2010 versus, you know, 2003 or four, I think he would have had a much longer NFL career. But I think because of his size, you know, teams were still kind of scared off by, you know, the diminutive running back then. But, you know, now you see it all over the place in Denver, especially where Quentin Griffin did play, you know, with Philip Lindsay. He's a smaller back, but he's had several thousand yard seasons already. You look at Alvin Kamara or Darren Sproles or, you know, Boston Scott in Philadelphia, these guys are smaller running backs, but they're still having a lot of success in the modern NFL. And I think had he played, you know, 10, 12, 15 years later, he would have had a much more successful NFL career. That's just how good of a player he was. But David, we got the big one coming up next, man. We're going to start talking about the quarterbacks. This is going to be a lot of fun because I think there's a lot of names, and it's going to be a very interesting debate to talk Bob Stoops' all-time starting quarterback, his best quarterback of his era. But before we do that, let me talk to you a little bit about rockauto.com. Rockauto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. So go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts when you can go to rockauto.com? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. And betting on the Sooners or the NBA or the NHL or what's coming up hopefully this spring in Major League Baseball doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks and quick hitting advice to make the smartest possible wagers. Subscribe to the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get your podcasts. And now, David, let's get into the granddaddy of them all, the position that holds all the sway, all the power, all the prestige, the position where Oklahoma has had three Heisman Trophy winners over the Bob Stoops era. They've had several finalists. They've had players go to the NFL, first overall picks. So, David, give me your guy. Who's your number one quarterback of the Bob Stoops era?
Oh, it's like as we started progressing through the show, like my pick has been wavering. I came to the show with so much confidence. Like, nope, I know I'm sticking to it now. Dang, I just like there's so many different factors. There's like, I don't know, a dozen ways you could look at this. And you could probably put a rating system on this. Like, I'm going to give this guy this rating because of that. Then you do like a total rating. To get to 100, like you take 10 categories and you rate them, you probably would come up with some super cool metric and we'd sound really cool and smart and like, you know, all that stuff and nerdier than I probably actually am, even though I am kind of nerdy, judging by my Star Wars consumption lately. But I'm going to just, you know, I'm stammering, guys, because I'm talking out loud my decision. So going into this, I was dead set. Like it's Baker, period. I got one game, I'm going Baker. But man, those Sam Bradford offenses were like just next level at the time. And I had so much confidence every time Sam threw the football that it was going to be completed. Like I didn't even question it. I didn't question his judgment. I didn't question the outcome. I just thought like, if we got three downs, he's going to get us a first down, like period. I don't care what's going to happen. So it's hard to discount that. It's also hard to take out of my mind what Jason White did. I had a front row seat for that, for his Heisman season. I was there and on the travel squad with that group. And I just think what Baker did, and you know, and oh, by the way, Josh Heupel won a Heisman Trophy. Okay. And he was a Heisman finalist and Heisman runner up. So, I mean, I don't want to like discredit Josh in this conversation either, but those four guys, I mean, you can make an argument for all of them. I'm going to say Baker, and I'm going to give him the edge based on the fact that he was obviously a two-time Heisman finalist. I mean, won it one year, was a finalist another year. Jay White did the same thing. He won it and then was a finalist, you know, in his comeback year. But Baker's swag, his edge, the way that he basically just took Oklahoma fans, not just himself, not just his teammates, but he took Oklahoma fans on a ride emotionally. It made you feel something that I don't think any of the other guys were able to tap into just by their temperament and personalities. And that's not a knock on them because they're all good dudes. But I think that what Baker brought to Oklahoma was just this edge that those teams that he was leading had to have for them to be as successful as they were. Like, I think that Sam Bradford's teams were more talented than Baker Mayfield's team. I don't even think that's a question. the 2008 team was more talented on both sides of the football than any team that Oklahoma's probably had until maybe going into this year in 2021. So I think he played with less talented teams. Certainly he played with horrific defenses, historically bad defenses. So for all of those factors, I was just kind of looking at in the totality of it, I would say Baker.
And it's really hard to argue with that because it's almost impossible to ask your offense to go out and score every time that they touch the football. But that's a lot of what Baker Mayfield ended up doing. I mean, you know, they would punt sometimes, but it wasn't very often. But when your defense is giving up 30, 35, 40 points a game, and your offense is still winning enough football games to put you in the national title picture every single season, I mean, a lot of that goes back to your quarterback. I mean, if your quarterback is not great, like legitimately great, and not, and this might be recency bias, you know, you can throw that at us, that's fine. But for what he had to overcome on the defensive side of the football to continually put them in position to win football games and have them in the national title conversation every single year that he was there. I know that they had the 1-2 start. I can't remember what season it was exactly, but where they dropped one to Ohio State and Houston. But then they bounced back and they won the rest of their games, you know? And so, you know, they had to overcome a lot. And again, Sam Bradford was excellent. He was fantastic for the Sooners, but you're right. He had a better defense to play with. You know, Jason White, Josh Heupel, absolutely tremendous quarterbacks. But you look at what Baker Mayfield accomplished. And I think the thing is that's also very important to note is the time in which he accomplished it too. I mean, we were coming off the heels of the Trevor Knight, Blake Bell, Landry Jones stretch of quarterback play. And, you know, Landry Jones was a fine quarterback. He was okay. But he was kind of a letdown after Sam Bradford, right? And then, you know, Blake Bell and Trevor Knight were very disappointing. I don't think you could find a Sooners fan who would argue that those were successful years.
Yeah, not a lot of fun to watch those offenses, I would say.
No, and so then when Baker Mayfield came in and took over and he did it with the personality that he did it and the swag that he did it. I mean, if you didn't run through your living room doing the helicopter, you know, arm spin after an Oklahoma touchdown, were you really an Oklahoma fan during the Baker Mayfield era?
Listen, my 7-year-old son will occasionally run down the basketball court after a made bucket during that Baker Mayfield celebration, which I have to explain, kind of like, okay, man, I know where you're coming from, but we need to tone that down. Okay?
That's
like,
right.
We're on that way down. That's right. Yeah. So Baker just brought something. But again, it's like that's generational type stuff, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I think that this goes beyond just the quarterback play, but this is part of why I chose him. Baker Mayfield in the 2000s, like when you and I were growing up, there was one guy that I think America associated with OU football for better or worse. And that was the Boz, right? It was Brian Bosworth and Barry Switzer. But the Boz was like the face of Oklahoma football from a player standpoint because of how he carried himself, how he marketed himself, all the different ways, right? I mean, they did 30 for 30 for the guy, for crying out loud. But Baker is that guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, you watch, I don't care if you're watching This Is Us, you're going to see a Baker Mayfield commercial in between segments unless you record it in DVR and fast forward. I mean, you're going to see Baker everywhere.
Yeah.
So Baker is the face of Oklahoma football. And he did that with an in-your-face style that wasn't for everybody, but it was for us. If you're a Sooner, it was for you, you know, and it wasn't for everybody else. The flag plant, it wasn't for the rest of the country. It was for you.
Right.
And he did that stuff for you. And he wore it on his chest. He wore his heart on his sleeve for you. And I think that's, to me, you know, where Baker really just separated himself when it comes to like what embodies the program and what impact that he's going to have for the longest time. I think it's a pretty clear, when you look at all of those factors, I think that's where the separation really takes place. And and that he pulled Oklahoma out of bad quarterback play. John, you know, it's funny about Baker. I remember when his first start at Tennessee, his first real test, like they were getting shut out late in that game. And I'll admit it right here on the air. You know, Trevor Knight had been supplanted, but we knew what he was capable of. We knew he had the Alabama game. You can't unsee that. And they're struggling. And I'm kind of thinking like, man, if you're ever going to like, you know, it might be good to just do this right now and just get Trevor back out there as opposed to waiting until game 5 or 6. They didn't even try to win this football game today and not just like give the job to Baker. And you know, I was a big idiot. And so I sat there and watched, and I enjoyed the comeback and went crazy when he led him back and, you know, launched, you know, kind of planted his flag, proverbially at least. Yeah. So right there in Knoxville. So, but I mean, it was weird how it just kind of came out of nowhere. Like, you know, you're wondering, like, is this really the guy, this transfer from Texas Tech? Like, he's going to be the one. And it's like, oh yeah. Yeah, he is. He's going to be the one. Just sit back and watch and enjoy the ride. And I think we all did.
Yeah, I know I did. Actually, I take a lot of credit for that win because Oklahoma was, like you said, they were losing and not doing well. And then I started sitting in this like little kids, like preschool folding chair at my friend's house in Duncan. Shout out Jason. You know the chair I'm talking about. I started sitting in that chair and they started winning. So I'm like, okay. So I did not move from the chair. Like they started like scoring some points and mounting the comeback. And so I never moved from the chair. I got pictures on Facebook of the chair. It's a red and blue 5-year-old preschool kids folding chair. That's like the chair.
Like a Fisher Price chair.
Yeah, exactly. That's the chair that took down Rocky Top. But yeah, I think that's the thing about Baker, man. And you know, CD Lamb had an AMA over at the Bleacher Report the other day. And one of the questions that somebody asked him about was his favorite Baker memory. Because Baker is that guy. At this point, he's like the face of OU football. And, you know, I think for a lot of good reasons, because, you know, he was an excellent ambassador of Oklahoma football. You can't hear him have a conversation about his success without talking about Lincoln Riley and Bob Stoops. Yep. And about what his time at Oklahoma meant to him. And so,
I was going to say, Eddie Radosovich brought up a good point on our Wednesday show when we were talking about Baker and Kyler. Which obviously Kyler doesn't factor in the conversation, although he did sign and transfer under Bob. He didn't play under him. So we'll leave Kyler alone in this deal. But Baker, you know, Eddie kind of brought up a great point. He said, you know, Baker is kind of like, he was all of us in a sense. Like if you grew up a Sooner fan, Baker Mayfield literally lived your dream of what you wanted to do when you were a kid. That's be the face of Oklahoma football. And the fact that he did it in the walk-on style, and, you know, the bet on himself, nothing to lose, chip on his shoulder. It epitomized Oklahoma in general. You know, the kind of the way that I think a lot of Oklahomans feel, you know, have a chip on their shoulder about how they're perceived nationally for different reasons or, you know, stereotypes or whatever those things are. Like Baker was all of us, you know, and he embraced it and like gave it back to everybody else. Uh-huh. And I think that was the one thing that made him so identifiable and so likable. Lovable, and still to this day is like the legend there will never die. I mean, he will have a legacy at Oklahoma that will rival that of, you know, this is not college football, but up in the NFL, up in Green Bay, the way that the Packer fans revered the Bart Starrs and Brett Favre's, you know, like that's who Baker is to this program. And to say that, and for him to have that place when we're talking about these other great quarterbacks of Sam Bradford and Jason White and Josh Heupel and, you know, even a Landry Jones, who by any other program stretch, Landry Jones would have been fantastic. Uh-huh. The number he put up and the length of time he played in the National Football League would have been fantastic for any program to tout. Hey, Landry Jones was our guy. And Landry Jones is just a footnote in this conversation because of how great everybody was around him. So, yeah, to me, it's Baker. And if we're going to talk about who the backup would have been, I probably would have gone with Sam Bradford.
Yeah, and no complaints on that front either. I think you can, you know, it's kind of pick your favorite ice cream at this point. There's a lot of, I have a lot of favorite ice creams. And that's how I feel about Oklahoma quarterbacks. You know, Baker Mayfield's the guy. And then after that, it's just ice cream flavors at that point, as a DallasCowboys.com columnist, Brian Bottas likes to say. So, yeah, hey. Let us know. I know you guys out there are going to disagree with some of our takes. You're going to have something to say about it. So make sure you go and follow us on Twitter at Locked On Sooners. You can check us out on Facebook, Locked On Sooners Podcast. And you can let us know what you think about these picks for Bob Stoops' all-time offense. Man, that would be a really fun offense to put on the field in 2021, wouldn't it? Like, oh,
yeah, they win a few ball games. They'd do all right in that old Big 12 conference. I think they can win some games out there.
Now, here's something we didn't really touch on, but, you know, as you're putting together an all-time offense, you also need an offensive coordinator. So who would you put as the offensive coordinator for this all-time offense?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. There was a moment as we were preparing for the show where I almost like, we didn't talk about it, but I almost thought, you know, how many tentacles could this have? You know, I would say
The maybe that's a conversation for another day.
Yeah. Oh man. So that, well, I mean, you have to include Lincoln in that. So I don't know if there's really a conversation needs to be had after once I just thought about it out loud.
Yeah. I mean,
but I mean, you'd say Lincoln, there was Lincoln, there was Josh Heupel, there was Chuck Long, there was Kevin Wilson, there was Mark Mangino, and there was a guy that started it all by the name of Mike Leach. So, oh yeah, that could get dicey. Let's just leave that. Let's leave that there. I don't, I'm not going to rush to Lincoln just yet because he really, I mean, three seasons. Yeah, it's probably pretty safe that I would go Lincoln, but there's definitely some meat on that bone as well. If you want, are we going to talk about who the best scout team center was? Because I'd like to maybe I just want to like toss my name in the hat. I'm not going to finish at the first of it, but I, you know, if we want to go real deep down, you know, if we want to go with like, you know, a scout team center, a second team offensive lineman that, you know, had a lot of heart, a lot of pride, a lot of grit, you know, somebody like that.
That's right, man. Hey, David Walker, I hear he was a part of that 77-0 blowout to Texas A&M. So
yeah,
if you he's definitely in the conversation.
Oh yeah, if you want to, yeah, for the mop up duty, the all time mop up duty guys, you know, if you want to really, if we want to really have that episode, I'm sure there's some former Sooners that would like to get in that conversation too. So
that's right.
That'll be on Locked On After Dark. That'll be on when you guys are all asleep. We'll do Locked On After Dark and we'll talk about that. But that's gonna wrap us up for today. I'll see myself out, John. I'll show myself out.
All right, we'll go ahead and start the outro music. Hey, we just want to thank you all so much for joining us today. Hey, make sure you go and check out the last two Thursdays shows. David had a couple really great shows with former Oklahoma offensive linemen, Chris Chester, Chris Mesner, John Flynn, and Wes Sims. Excellent, excellent content. Just a lot of really fun stories just from their time under Bob Stoops and under Schmitty over there at Oklahoma. Talked a lot about what it was like to play against Mike Stoops. So make sure you go check out those episodes. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts, because we're going to continue to bring you great content all spring long. And it sounds like there might be some actual spring football this spring to talk about if Lincoln Riley has it his way. So again, make sure you're subscribed to the Locked On Sooners podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Go drop us a rating wherever you get your podcasts. We'd love to hear your feedback. If you have a take, make sure you let us know at lockedonsooners@gmail.com and check out our Twitter page for our phone number where you can send us a voicemail and we can play it on air and answer your questions and respond to your takes. So for David Walker, I'm John Williams. We'll talk to you on Monday. Boomer.
Sooner.